When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to the only thing that matters. That's it. It's just us.
Welcome back, reptilians. How are we doing today?
Oh, good one.
Thanks.
Good one.
You have to listen to the last episode in order to understand that reference.
Correct.
But it felt right.
Honestly, if anyone is reptilians, good job, Rachel. If anyone in the world, any group of people are reptilians, it's our listeners.
Absolutely. So.
Little sus. Just saying. Every time I say sus, I feel like a 12-year-old boy. I can't help it.
No clap. Is that what they say? What's the word? Is that what they say?
Are you actually asking me? I thought you were making fun of that SNL skit.
No. What's the saying?
Did you just unironically say no clap to me? To my face?
Yeah. I'm asking you if that's the appropriate context to say no clap. Is it even clap? I have aged myself in this podcast already.
You're 22.
It has already been established.
You're 22, right?
Yes, but I am definitely a 50-year-old woman living inside my body.
Oh, Maddie.
No Maddie. Cap.
That's it. No cap.
Not clap. And what is... I need Elon Musk to explain it to me
again. Did you say Elon Musk?
I did say Musk. Guys, we are all aboard the giggle train. No, but I think Elon Musk needs to explain it to me because I clearly don't understand it.
I don't know if he understands it either.
That is true. I could tell Elon and I were in the same boat of having literally no idea what.
Just in general? Just no idea. Okay.
All right.
Let's let that go.
So we did that. So it's no cap.
Forget that ever happened.
No cap. I'm going to have to Urban Dictionary this, but we'll do
like
it later.
I'm going
to
slam your computer shut.
We're going to do it later.
And kick you out, fire you.
So apologies.
Just cut right to it.
We're just going to cut right to it because there's really nowhere to go from here.
Okay.
While you, in all of your perfectness.
You can stop there.
Are perfect. Mm-hmm. There were things that I feel we need to apologize to our listeners for.
Disagree, but go on.
So here we go. I would like to apologize for Rachel having to read her notes more than she usually does. A little slacking, but we'll give it to you because you're awesome. And it was a lot. I would also like to apologize for Rachel giving us the largest topic known to mankind with about 800 different underground tunnels we needed to pursue and try to fit it into one of our episodes.
It's actually about 803.
Even worse. She just did herself in even more. So I do apologize to our listeners for both of those things.
I don't.
We're never going to get anything else from her. So there we go. There's that.
I don't know. I expected a little fight from you on that, but you just decided to shame me for being a narcissist or something.
Probably.
Okay.
I think that's the best course of action here. Arguing might not work.
No, arguing won't work.
I think I've learned after listening to you and Lauren that arguing is perhaps the wrong approach here. I'm taking a Jimmy Carter stance on this. We're going to hug.
We're not going to hug it out.
Dang.
No.
I tried.
We're not going to hug it out.
That was for you, Jimmy.
It's the weirdest presidential tribute ever.
Right?
That, I just feel like it's that one was for you, Jimmy.
Because it's just who I am now. The Jimmy Carter hugging attitude. Do you want to hear what I have for you today?
I'm not sure anymore.
I think you do.
Okay, fine. Let's hear it. Tell me what you got. Tell me a story.
Oh, that's perfect. I will tell you a story. Okay, so there's a little girl named Alice.
Okay. In Wonderland?
In Wonderland. How did you know?
I'm a genius.
So Alice goes to Wonderland.
Okay.
And in Wonderland, she experiences whimsical wonders and imaginative experiences and creative, colorful memories that are made with Cheshire cats and Mad Hatters, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, a talking dodo bird, a seal, some talking flowers, okay. And the Queen of Hearts.
Where are you going with
this? Oh, just wait. Also in Alice's adventures in Wonderland, she finds herself shrinking and expanding at different times. She finds herself seeing objects farther away and closer to her, as well as losing track of time. By the time she returns from Wonderland, it had only been about an hour.
Okay.
Lewis Carroll's original novel, right, tells this story. This is published in 1865. This book radically changes the literature landscape for children's books.
Sure, sure.
Did you know that there is a rare disorder known as Alice in Wonderland syndrome and the symptoms of the syndrome are shared experiences that Alice has in her story?
This feels vaguely familiar, but no, I couldn't have told you that.
So,
I was about to ask if you were going to tell me about how some people think that Lewis Carroll is Jack the Ripper.
I wasn't, but maybe I'll look into that next.
I have a book on it. Oh, I haven't read it yet, but I'm very excited too.
Side note, Jack the Ripper is one of my favorite historical events, people ever, just because it's so crazy to me how he just no one knows.
Yeah.
And I used to have this dream that one day I would discover the identity of Jack the Ripper, 200 years mm-hmm. after, because that's logical. It could still happen, but I need to see that book.
It's so incredible. There's so much detail.
It's insane. So, Alice in Wonderland syndrome. So Alice in Wonderland syndrome was first identified or written down, named in 1955 by John Todd. So sometimes this is known as Todd's syndrome, after the discoverer. And it's characterized by distorted visual perception, mm-hmm. Everything you see is all off, and you can lose awareness of, or your perception of your own body can be skewed.
Okay.
And then your perception of time is skewed.
Okay.
Super rare. So even though it was discovered really in 1955, other scientists, psychologists, early psychologists in the early 1900s had been reporting these kind of weird, whimsical experiences. Okay. So in 1907, there's a doctor, William Gowers, who reports patients that had seizures who would experience feelings of unreality. Herman Oppenheim in 1913 wrote that, quote, a patient with violent migraine had indescribable feelings of detachment of trunk or an extremity.
Okay.
Another doctor, McDonald Critchley, noted that his patients would have, micropsia and macropsia, where they would imagine that their body objects were either smaller or larger than they are. And then Carol Lippmann in 1952, who's often considered maybe the precursor to John Todd, even though Todd is the one who receives credit.
Okay.
He was the first one to describe migraine patients with hallucinations of their bodies splitting and things growing and shrinking. And Lippmann was the first to make the connection between Lewis Carroll's novel and the syndrome that people can experience.
I've got a question.
Yes.
It's a couple questions.
Yeah.
So how are these symptoms different than, say, body dysmorphia, time blindness, or dissociation?
So I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you. So this is what it's important to understand is that this syndrome is not considered like a mental health issue or like anything that has to do with hallucinations or eyesight problems. It's not even necessarily like a neurological condition. It's people who experience Alice in Wonderland syndrome are aware that their reality is distorted. They know what they're seeing is wrong.
Yes. So is that, so what is it considered then? Like what category does it fall under?
You know, it just
because falls... there are a lot of mental health,
right.
You know, mental disorders, syndromes, whatever, that there are distortions that people are aware of their distortions. They know that hallucinations or voices or right. their perceptions of things are incorrect.
So Alice in Wonderland syndrome is just, it's typically works in conjunction with other underlying okay. conditions. So that, and so what's happening here is Alice in Wonderland syndrome is still relatively, it's a relatively new mm-hmm. field of study. I mean, it was really discovered in 1955. It's also not necessarily harmful. And it usually fades by adulthood.
Interesting.
A lot of children, hence again why there's this connection between Alice mm-hmm. and this story, a lot of children don't, they recognize something's weird, but they're a child and they're not understanding really what's happening or if they should really bring it up because they're quick episodes of distorted.
Oh, it's episodic. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it doesn't often get reported. And... what's important to note why it's not necessarily a mental health like condition in and of itself mm-hmm. is originally this was just treated as you've gone mad, hence the Mad Hatter character. So
it has a neurological basis, but it's not considered like a diagnosable
right.
illness disorder.
It's, right. It's not like we right. can trace it to one particular area of the brain or okay. like, you know, there's things like that. So originally it was treated as being you've gone mad. You're, mm-hmm. you know, you're seeing things, get to the asylum kind of thing. This article describes it as a neurological issue, like dealing with your brain and your nerves, not a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. So if that's, it's kind of a strange line.
They're definitely connected.
Correct.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is typically something that's happening in children and young adults. And by adulthood, it typically goes away on its own. There are many cases of adults that will still struggle with episodes.
Okay.
But again, it's not necessarily debilitating. So here's where I want to kind of break down some of the symptoms, right?
Please and
they all really relate to what happens in this book. And I will go on ahead and include this. Scientists and historians know that Lewis Carroll struggled with migraines.
Okay.
Migraines is one of the underlying causes of AIWS. And so many argue that Lewis was incorporated some of his own experiences with this syndrome in his Alice's Adventures in Wonderland.
Okay.
So,
as many authors and artists do in general,
exactly.
relate to their own work in some
exactly.
way.
Exactly. And this is an interesting, I will add this as well. A lot of this syndrome finds itself in literature. Mm. There's not as much scientific evidence prior to 1955 because most of it was just people's revelations in literature.
And psychology pre-1950s, right. really pre-1990s
exactly
was not good.
Right. It was, you know, a whole different genre that was this kind of that pseudoscience idea. Right?
I will at some time have to do an episode on like the history of hysteria.
Absolutely.
It's
right. Cause it's the concerning. Whole transition from recognizing chemical imbalances mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in a different state. So this book is also associated to a lot of things that happen in Gulliver's Travels. Mm. Jonathan Swift's story with the characters of, Lilliput and the horse figures and the really small people and the really big people.
The Lilliputians.
Similar ideas there. So again, you see that connection to literature, because this wasn't necessarily the symptoms that you felt weren't associated with a common reality of just your brain having something wrong with it.
Right.
You know, not, it was like, you're mad. You've lost it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like it's this LSD trip or anything like that. As tempting as it is, there's definitely some of that in Alice in Wonderland.
Did you say it? I'm saying
tempting as it is to think it's an LSD trip. Here I am again.
Like, once again, you're talking about the positives.
There are no criminal positives activity. To LSD.
Thank you for clearing that up.
But it's tempting to just want to think that we can narrow this down to like, oh, it's just like some sort of drug trip or hallucination. Right. It's right. not. Because again, there's that differentiation from people are aware that their reality is distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a LSD trip or drug trips, you think this is your reality.
Right.
Right. So symptoms. There are 58 recognized symptoms of AIWS.
Okay.
The most common symptoms are micropsia and macropsia. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm pronouncing them relatively okay. But that's when objects appear smaller or bigger. Micro, small, macro, large.
Got it.
There is also teleopsia. That one's weird.
See.
Teleopsia.
It might be teleopsia.
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 I
don't know.
Teleopsia, teleopsia.
I don't know.
Tomato, tomato. This is where objects seem farther away than where they are. Pelopsia is when objects seem closer than they are. This one is so hard to say. There's so many syllables. Dysmorphopsia. This is where straight lines are like wavy. So this is like it's mirrors like, at the fun house.
Yeah, dude. My vision gets like that when I get migraines.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That's just an aura.
some of this is associated with migraine auras. Mm-hmm. It's a rare type of migraine aura. So you also have macrosomatognosia.
Okay.
Which is where your body feels bigger than it is.
Okay.
And then you obviously have microsomatognosia, where your body feels smaller than it is. And then you also can have quick motion phenomenon, where time is going so rapidly that you feel like it's going so rapidly, but it's really not.
Does it have the opposite as well?
This one, not that we know of. Maybe it does. But this is, you know, again, like that Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. She goes into Wonderland and it's been an hour, but she feels like she's been there for days. It's that kind of idea where time goes so quickly.
Well, that would be the opposite. In Alice in Wonderland, time is moving much slower than she thinks. She thinks it's days, but it's only been an hour.
Another symptom is quick motion phenomenon.
Just ignore it.
Where time will move much quicker than it really is. So objects could be seen rushing around or voices talking too quickly. Really just things being rapid.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And I would imagine there could be a converse to that. The one article I was using for symptoms here, none of them necessarily mentioned time moving slower. But like everything, they have both. You know,
right.
big, small.
Right.
So I'd assume that there's an opposites there. So like I said, a Alice in Wonderland syndrome is typically caused by other underlying conditions.
So I'm going to be looking up the full symptom list because I think I have this.
Well, and so part of what I found so interesting about this, you know, syndrome is that it's not a lot of people. I mean, it's like it has scientific grounds. There's lots of
studies.
I've
never heard of this.
There's studies from 2011, 2015, 2016. Like there's a lot of studies, especially in the past few years. But like I mentioned, because it sometimes can just be like so quick, people don't perceive it. It happens in children. So children are just like, well, that was weird. But they're a child. So they're not necessarily like thinking, oh, what? Like, I need to go tell my doctor. You know what I'm saying?
So I have had this happen on multiple occasions. And I did not think anything of it.
Okay, tell me.
Until right now.
Tell me.
I've had the, like, obviously I have had the, like, wavy lines, but that mm-hmm. is kind of more of when I have a migraine. I have had the, like, and now the time thing, that may just be because I have ADHD. Time blindness sure. is a thing. I have had on occasion, but it's only on occasion. It is like an episode kind yeah. of thing. I always thought I was just like in my head and maybe a little like too tired, sleep deprived or something. But the feeling of like my body being really big or being really small, like not yeah. being able to mentally, like if I'm looking at myself in a mirror, I can see mm-hmm. I'm not having like dysmorphic images. Oftentimes it'll be at night, like if I'm laying in bed, my yeah. body will feel really big or it'll yeah. feel really small. But if I look at myself, like I can't imagine what my body actually looks like.
Yeah.
What were some of the other ones?
I already forgot. So your objects being smaller or larger than they are. So looking at something else, you objects seeming further or farther away. So like your depth perception is off.
That's literally what just happened when I was sitting here. I was like, this looks like it's about a mile away.
Right. And so that's, and so again, some people assumed with this depth perception, it's just glasses.
I've always thought I kind of had bad depth perception.
And so obviously this isn't just like if you have one of these symptoms, you have AIWS.
Right.
It's one of these, it's still newer. There's studies to prove that it's like legit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of people that suffer it, but it's rare mm-hmm. in that it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And to
yeah.
have all of the symptoms is what's rare. You could have some symptoms again because it's caused by things such as migraine.
Right.
27% of AIWS cases come from migraines.
Interesting.
And many researchers are looking into AIWS as its own kind of migraine aura.
So here's something additionally interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have really bad vestibular migraines.
Mm.
So it's not really the headache. It's like you get super dizzy. Like I was very close to passing out a couple times I kind of like fell right. onto my desk in school
right.
And it just like wiped me out for the whole day. So it's mostly dizziness, but it is a type of migraine. Those have gotten a lot better and I've experienced this a lot less.
Hmm. Well, and again,
not that it is necessarily this, but like some of these similar symptoms.
Well, and it is one of those things that's supposed to grow out of
yeah.
you by adulthood. So it really was super interesting to learn about and just to like dive in. So other things that can cause this are infections. So around 23% of AIWS cases are caused by infections. The most common is the Epstein-Barr virus.
Mm. That's a herpes virus, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I went out like 90% sure. I guess I should double check. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What percent? 40?
23.
Okay. I don't know where I got fine. 40.
So the other thing is head trauma. So 8% of cases can come from head trauma. And this is one particular study.
Did I have a TBI I don't know about?
There's other, there's obviously other studies. This is from a 2016 right. study. Something like concussions too many
yeah.
blows to the head.
Yeah, big time.
You know.
There's a lot
epilepsy,
of crazy things that can happen. With
right. Epilepsy accounts for 3%.
Okay.
And then they do account for certain medicines like cough syrups or other hallucinogenic drugs.
Interesting. Can that cause it like more than one episode, or is that kind of like it mimics the symptoms of it?
It's going to influence the intensity
okay.
of
okay.
episodes is really what happens here. So,
right. Gotcha.
And obviously hallucinogenic drugs.
Mm-hmm.
There's an extra syllable there. They cause episodes in and of themselves. So there is that.
They're not the same, but they kind of mimic each other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there is that recognition of like that can complicate and
right.
or mimic AIWS. And then there is actually 1 out of 5 cases have no obvious cause.
Mm.
So, you know, researchers are really diving into it to figure out what is it. We recognize something's happening. We have this name for it. But we're still understanding all the implications of how it separates and defines itself, which is, I think, honestly really interesting
yeah.
to be a part of some
yeah.
kind of development. They also believe that Alice in Wonderland syndrome is genetic.
Okay.
Or hereditary. I think that's both. Whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
There's one story actually in the New York Times that is really where a lot of this got some traction. Her name was Helene Stepinski.
Okay.
And she was writing this almost blog post about her and her daughter, Paulina, who were having AIWS episodes. And the whole article is breaking down how not only her and her daughter, but her mother also had episodes when they were children, and her son had episodes. So so there is a lot of evidence that it's genetic and that it can be something passed down.
At least anecdotal evidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Helene actually describes an episode saying, quote, "When I was young, I too would see things far away, as I once described it to my mother, as if everything in the room were at the wrong end of a telescope. The episodes could last anywhere from a few minutes to an hour, but they eventually faded as I grew older," end quote. So episodes are typically brief, and they're not like your LSD trips. They're right. their own weird sort of like everything is
my
off.
LSD trips?
Yeah, yours.
I'll let it go. It's fine.
So there's not a way to predict or monitor these episodes. They're not they're not expected. The syndrome itself is very rare. And so there's not really any treatment. So in terms of like, you know, danger to you, like that's why I don't think that there is as much of a push for like treatment or cure, because it's fading away, and it's also not anything that's actually harming anybody or putting people in harm's way. Well, because you're still conscious like of the fact that you're
operating heavy
disorder.
Machinery.
Well, that's fair.
If you're driving a car,
you know.
And but there's a good couple of years in there where you might have some overlap.
That's fair. So maybe, I mean, they're working on it, but a lot of like the treatment advice is just taking care of the underlying condition, right? So dealing with your migraines or epilepsy, things like that. And you know, the, since it's also, you know, it's not like an LSD trip where, I mean, to your point, there is obviously room where these could become a hazard. But like an LSD trip, if you have like a bad trip, you could end up in the middle of a highway and like die.
Yeah.
You know, these are more like, I see that everything is off and I can be consciously aware of it. So even if you were operating heavy machinery, you could like know.
Be aware enough to stop, pull over, whatever.
Right. So it's very strange. It's just a very like strange.
Interesting.
Newer development that does have a lot of like scientific basis. There's a lot of, to your point, anecdotal evidence, but also scientific evidence. And it's one of those things that researchers are still building off of and theorizing.
Right.
But it really is super interesting. And then to your point, considering like the history of hysteria even, and looking at the progression of psychology as a legitimate science is very interesting, especially considering you know,
it's wild.
Because you look at the transition of, you know, if there is that correlation with Lewis Carroll and Alice in Wonderland, then you look at now we're in the 21st century and we're looking back and saying, maybe there was actually just something going on. Maybe there was an underlying cause to these perceptions and these distortions that are being experienced, and it's not Mad Hatter.
Perception is one of like the most interesting fields of study.
Yeah.
Like perception, science on perception studies, fascinating.
Which is all where this falls
Absolutely fascinating.
It all falls in here. So that's Alice in Wonderland syndrome.
Interesting.
That's what I have for you. You know?
When we did the Denver airport episode, you said you were going to be up all night thinking about that. I think I'm going to be up all night researching this. Calling my doctor.
You're gonna be like, do I have Alice in Wonderland syndrome,
or am I just, do I just have ADHD and I don't sleep enough?
Well, and it'd be interesting just to consider, I mean, I get this feel from my research that Alice in Wonderland syndrome is a spectrum, and again there, it's not like they have a hard and fast line of like, this is where you have Alice in Wonderland syndrome, but it's one of those things, I think, to your point, maybe more people struggle with, and it could be really still just a symptom of, or like have underlying causes that maybe people just aren't aware is like a thing. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Who's
to think
to
about.
Say?
Who is to say?
Me. I'm to say on everything.
every topic as ever. Always.
So yeah, so Alice in Wonderland syndrome, it's kind of crazy. It makes me think of the movies and the book in a different light. Hmm. Nonetheless.
I've never read the book.
Oh my gosh. It's so good.
Sorry.
The original illustrations are like so pretty too.
Okay.
Definitely 10 out of 10. I trust you. So watch Alice in Wonderland. Disney, sponsor us.
Oh, you're going big for sponsorship.
Hey, shoot for the
You
stars.
Want our first like one-on-one corporate sponsorship?
Yes.
To be Disney. Okay.
A dream is a wish your heart makes.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. But anyways, Alice in Wonderland syndrome, crazy times, distorted perceptions, and magic mushrooms, and talking flowers.
And LSD.
And LSD.
Sponsor us, Disney.
But not LSD. But also sponsor us, Disney. So that's what I have for you,
Rachel.
What am
I supposed to do with this?
I know. I don't know. I don't know where you go from here.
I don't either.
Because your mind is whirling down the rabbit hole. Trying to determine.
Well, it always is. I mean, am I kidding? Always. Constantly. So I think we're going to have to read that book about how Lewis Carroll might be Jack the Ripper, and then maybe we'll watch Alice in Wonderland.
And then maybe we'll be able to connect these dots.
Maybe we will, or maybe we'll just get more confused. But
the latter is probably
it
the most
sounds
probable.
Like a plan, like Great. A really good plan.
Great.
The only good plan. But in the meantime, you should come join us on our social media.
Right, you should. Check us out on Instagram.
Hyperfocus Pod.
Twitter.
Hyperfocus _pod.
Facebook.
Hyperfocus, a podcast for chaotic minds. Like our page and join our group.
YouTube.
Also Hyperfocus, a podcast for chaotic minds.
And TikTok.
Hyperfocus Pod.
And you can also email us directly.
She remembered this time.
I did.
HyperfocusCast@gmail.com. So that's Hyperfocus, CAST @gmail.com.
So give us your feedback, your
fan mail, your love letters.
Love letters.
Your
gifts.
Social security number and your mother's maiden name. Your cash.
Your dog's name.
You can
favorite color.
Make your checks out to Hyperfocus.
And you can also give us topics if you have anything interesting that you've learned of.
Or if you prefer to send money digitally, you can go to our website and click on sponsor this podcast.
Disney, did you hear that?
No, that's like, it's people who can like donate
money. I know, but Disney.
Oh, okay. Just have Disney donate a bunch of
money. Hey,
I'm really going hard for the cash grab today.
I know.
Apparently.
I can't control her. I apologize.
I can't control me either.
But I will say you should follow us, check us out, send us emails, send us your feedback. We love and appreciate you all.
And your money.
And your money, I guess.
We punchy today. We a little bit punchy today.
I'm going to blame that on my lack of sleep, courtesy of the Denver airport video or episode.
That's a video too.
It is a video on our YouTube page because we're shooting videos now. And you can see our beautiful faces.
I'm just constantly sleep deprived, so I don't...
She's more used to it than I am.
And yet here I am still acting like this. Well, maybe I should go take a nap.
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot today.
We've learned a lot.
So we'll see you next week.
Stay chaotic, babes.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.